Okay, this is Monday, October 10th, and the topic this month is The Way It Is.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that is sinking in, that you are realizing that you are a god or a goddess, meaning that you're creative, meaning that this mind of yours is doing something besides just turning around, causing worry and havoc all the time. You can use your mind to create your life, to create your reality. You are doing that at the present moment, whether you know that or not. So if you can change your thinking and think, well, I am a god, and what do? Gods create. And what kind of a god do I want to be? Do I want to be a good god or a bad god or whatever you want to be there? That's going to be your choice. So think of that. And also think of the idea as you're becoming God, God is becoming you, because it's a two-way street. And there's nothing else you can do about that, since we make that big statement, all there is God. Then we have to be some part of that, and God has to be some part of us. There's no in-between here going on. So learn that. That's one of the basic tenets of metaphysics, by the way. And it's not taught, because here again, I think people are afraid of the power that they may discover that they have if you really come down to I'm becoming God, or I am a God, or whatever you want to say about that. You know, we have that wonderful little expression, all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is, because each and every one of us is the same. You know, we're all becoming God. We're all doing something. So think of that during your day. And another reason why we're going to think about that is I ran into a board member. I'm on the board of our condominium. And this man was impossible the other night at the meeting. So I think it was Sunday I ran into him, and he said, oh, I apologize for acting the way I did. So I said to him, why did you do it, and why don't you stop? And he said, because I'm human. Everyone does it. You must get over the idea. Yes, you are human, but you are much more than that. You have to realize that, and you don't have to follow. He was just letting his mind take complete control and going banana over the whole thing. But to come up with an excuse, and we hear that all the time, oh, well, I'm only human, or he's only human, so here's the mistakes, here's that. Yes, we may be making mistakes and so forth, but you have to realize that you're more than a human being. You're much, much more. That's only one little facet of what you are. And at the present moment on this plane of action, of course, you're a human being. Otherwise, you wouldn't be communicating on this plane of action. Someday, you will not be human, but you'll still be around, and you'll still be doing something. You'll be occupied doing something somewhere. So that goes back again to the thing that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It just changes. But once there's energy, and we're all energy, it cannot be destroyed. So it has to transform into something. And here again, that in metaphysics, we use the word instead of that person died or dropped dead or whatever. We use the word transition. He made his transition. He transcended into something else. So if you want to look at that more closely, everything does that. And we can look at an example. That would be an ice cube. An ice cube is water. It starts out as water. It can become an ice cube. It can go back to water. It can become steam. It can become all kinds of things. But the energy and what it is always there. So this thing that we call God is always there with you. You are always becoming this thing, God. You can make a choice how you want to perceive that and what you want to do with that. But most of us are not going to stay static and just be nothing but a human being while on this plane of action. We're going to advance somewhere. And when you come to these classes and hear some of the things, perhaps it perks your mind up to think of, oh, I am more than human. I am able to do this. Oh, I'm no longer afraid of this thing called death. Because life has no opposite. It's not life and death. Life has no opposite because it continues. It's eternal. It goes on and on and on and on. So we're taught by the world and by many religions about this death and all, which frightens people. I would never be frightened about death or making a transition. Why would I not be concerned about that? Because I realize that I'm always moving from my good to my greater good. Always moving from your good to your greater good. You can use death throughout eternity, and you can certainly use it on this plane of action. And if you've been around long enough, you can look back in your life and find out that that's absolutely true. You've come through a lot of things, and you've made it through, you see. That's that old joke about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Well, you walk through all those things out the other end. You don't build a condominium and live there. And many people like to build a condominium and stay there. This teaching tells you, move on, get with it. The whole idea of this teaching, by the way, is to keep on trucking. You just keep on doing it till you finally do it, till it finally happens for you. And if you think it's easier for some people than others, I don't think that that's true. We all have that ability. Some of us, it may seem like they do it quicker. They've been working on it a long time. I had a client today, and she had a wonderful aha moment because I was trying to explain to her that she's not her mind, that she can use her mind, that she can learn to control her thinking, that she can learn to do all these things. Now, this is about her. It's either five or six times now that she visited me. But the day I explained to her, I said, if you want to stop smoking, you can stop smoking if you only stop for the moment. But if you say to your mind, I'm going to stop smoking forever, your mind's going to say, oh, no, you're not. That's too far down the road. You cannot do that. You project down there, and your mind says, ha ha. No way. But if you say to your mind, I can stop this for one moment, you can. And she said to me, you know, that's how I stopped smoking. I had completely forgotten that. But somebody said I couldn't stop for 3 months, and she said, watch me, I'll stop for 3 months. And she said, after the 3 months, she picked up a cigarette, and she said, I could not stand the smell of it. Now, why is that so important? Because now she realizes she can do either one moment at a time and say, I am a success, or she can say, for 3 months, I can be a success. And at the end of 3 months, start over again and be the success instead of waiting. That's mind control. That's controlling your mind. And these are the little gimmicks or tricks or whatever you want to call them that you can use to outsmart your own mind. You must be able to do that. Mind's very slippy, it's very cunning, it's shrewd, and it's, I could use the word connival, all the time. So, use it correctly. It's a very powerful instrument. So, use your mind. And that's what this teaching is all about, using your mind. Not somebody else's mind, but your mind. Now, you can say that you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. And you can say, my mind is part of the mind of God. Therefore, there must be creative ideas in there. There must be bigger, better ideas in the mind of God. And I can find those ideas because that's where I'm living, you see. And if you think your mind isn't functioning correctly, change that. You know, change the idea that you have about yourself. I know many people don't think they're smart. Many people don't think they think quick enough. They don't do this. You know, you're just telling yourself a bunch of lies. They're not true at all. Why do you want to do that to yourself? And always ask yourself, where is it getting me thinking this thought? And you can choose the thought. Then you want to think and change it and see what happens. It's an experiment, people. This whole life experience is like living in a laboratory. You can experiment with things and you can have fun with things. And that's what we want to do. We want to have fun with things. So, the title for this month is, What is the Way? Because everyone is looking away, looking for the way. And many organizations want to tell you that they know the way. What do we mean by that? Well, the way to salvation, the way to heaven, the way to a better life, this, that, and the other thing. You have to do that for yourself. It's an individualized thing. You can listen to what I'm saying. You can read all the books and stuff, but you have to make it your own. And the same way with this idea of what God is, you have to make that your own. Now, there are many people out there. I mentioned last week the Methodist Church. It's called the Methodist Church because they have a method to get you to heaven. What that method is, I don't know because I don't go to a Methodist church. But that's why they're called the Methodist. And then we have many other people, many other religions out there, like the Jewish religion, who relies on tradition all the time, and they think, I see them in Hollywood walking with their long black coats and their black hats and this, that, and the other thing. And they think, well, this is the way. This is how. And I seriously doubt that. And I had an epiphany years ago. I was in, I think it was Rome. And a lady appeared, the first time I ever saw it, completely in black from head to toe with the burqa and everything, and a face mask with only a slit this big to look out of. And it was 110 degrees. I thought, this poor woman's going to drop dead. And then my next thought was, I just can't believe that any God would say, wear that black outfit in 110 degree weather. What God would say that? No. But she thinks that's the way, you see. So you have to think, what is my way? How am I going to get where I want to go? By using your own thinking. And by not believing in all these authority figures and so forth, who tell you it must be done this way. Or you can pray yourself in and out of heaven, or in and out of this, or wherever you want to do it. You can use your rosaries or your prayer beads. You can do all. There's all kinds of things. But you have to come up with your own system, your own way, because you're an individualized expression of this thing called God. So, you don't have to do the prayer books that churches hand out. Make your own prayer book, for goodness sake. And I often tell that about religious science people who want to do treatment work, and they think they have to follow the five steps or the seven steps. Those five steps and those seven steps are only there till you learn to control your thinking so that it's in a logical pattern. Because you're talking to intelligence, and you must talk to it intelligently. I have been to many churches and metaphysical churches where they stand up to do a treatment and it goes, oh my, it gets so convoluted and goes around kidneys, corn, crib, and comes back out the other end, and I have no idea what they're asking for, what they want. And if I can't figure it out, I can assure you this thing called God cannot figure it out. So it's always intelligence talking to intelligence. So be intelligent, yes.
I've heard you say treatment many times. I really don't know what that
is. Oh, and I used to explain that, and I forget that you're a newbie. You are a newbie. Treatment just means prayer, and it's a scientific way of praying. And when they use a scientific way, It's because anytime you use the word science, it's because you can prove something. If it's scientific, you can prove it. And it can, if it works for me, it has to work for you. You see. So there's five steps. Unifying and denying and whatever declaration I think was one of them. And you put it together in a logical fashion, and that's called a treatment. But it's only prayer, and they just changed it to treatment work, because here again they wanted to get away from the idea of a church and so forth. And then they turned right around and made themselves churches. And then there was a big phase going on in the metaphysical movement where they changed the name to centers. They became spiritual centers. They dropped the word church and so forth. Do it for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with going to church. There's nothing wrong with going to any of these things. But don't rely on other people to do it. Remember, if you're in any kind of group, you can only raise as high as the group. If you raise any higher than the group, they'll ask you to leave. So, groups always level you off and keep you there. You try it once in a group. Try to get higher than them, and they'll ostracize you. That's not what groups are for. Groups are to maintain the status quo. Churches, almost all of them, are to maintain the status quo. You do not have to do that. You do not have to join them. Here again, there is no salvation through affiliation. Because you belong to a church, you think you've bought your way into this thing called heaven or this whatever you think. It's no. You cannot buy your way into any of this stuff. You can think your way into it. So start to think. What do I conceive here? What is it? And give up all the old ideas and so forth. I had it, you know, we're not teaching the faith of our fathers. The faith of our fathers may have worked for them, but it's certainly not going to work for us, and it's not going to work for the next generation. It's going to keep changing. Everything changes. And this whole idea of God and stuff keeps evolving. It'll keep evolving because it's infinite. And we'll just keep learning more about it. But for centuries, it was stopped. This is it, and this is all you're going to get, you know. There's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a person called God who had a son called Jesus and a mother called Mary, and lo and behold, that's it. So there's a hierarchy of heaven and so forth. Well, that's not true. So we don't want to use that, do we? We want to think for ourselves. As I said before, this teaching does not teach you what to think. It teaches you how to think. We never teach you what to think. We present things to you, and we teach you how to think for yourself. Because unless you're thinking for yourself, you're not living your life. You're living somebody else's life. So, you can all think for yourself, and you have that ability to do it. And, as I said many times, anyone can start a church. There's nothing, you know, I could come up with a church and call it Dallasism or something. I mean, they start up all over the place. You just get a bunch of people together, and you agree, here's what we're going to do, and go on from there. Now, we do have these brand name churches already established, but speaking of brand name churches already established, there's a wonderful church on Wilshire, about three blocks west of the old Bullock store. Enormous old structure. I just loved it. It's up for sale.
It's been there a long time.
Yeah, it's been there absolutely. Oh my, yes. And I went by the other day, and it has a for sale sign. Now, this is the first time in my life I've seen a for sale sign in front of a church. I think it's sort of funny. They're selling off the church. You know, if you want to buy it,
You know, who sells churches?
So does that mean that churches are going out?
I don't know.
I just thought it was very funny. So you see, wouldn't it have been great if you belonged to that church and now they're selling it off, you know? Don't you think your faith would go down the tubes a little bit? What happened here? This is the house of God, this is this and there, and we're selling it? You know, I think it'd make a nice nightclub or restaurant. Could be. So, back to the what is the way? The way is what you want it to be. What you are thinking about. Now, you can add all the little things that if you want. You can add all these little devices. You can wear the clothes if you want. Special sandals if you want. You can wear a cross around your neck. You can wear anything you want. If that helps you, please feel free to do it. But there is no power in any of those things. And people put power into those things. If you put power into your rosary beads or into your prayer beads or into the Torah or into the Bible, if you put power into any of those things, it has to be secondary causation. It has to be secondary causation. God is always going to be first cause. Always going to be first cause. So that is a grand thing, not only to remember that you are becoming God and God is becoming you, but that this thing called God is always first cause, meaning. And when we use the word God here, we must remember that it means mind. Big mind, M-I-N-D, mind. Interchangeable. Because mind is all there is. Everything comes from that. Issues out of this thing, this mind. And it issues out of your own mind. Your life comes from your thinking. It comes from your mind. It doesn't come from your body or all the other things that the trappings in life. Those trappings are wonderful. But that is not where the power is. And that's not where you're going to find this peace or whatever you're looking for. You have to look for it inside of you and inside of your mind. Now, we always say it's intrinsic in here. And we touch ourselves around here. But it's intrinsic up here. It's done with your thinking. And each and every one of us has been given a good mind. And that's what you have to remember. You have to remember that you have a good mind. Okay. Could you read that and pass it on, please?
I am on the right path.
I am on the right path.
I am on the right path.
I am on the right path. I am on the right path.
I am on the right path.
I'm on the right path.
And I'm on the right path, and we're all on different paths. And we converge here on Monday, and we talk about the same thing and all, but we all have different ideas, and we're all on some path, but the path that you're on is going to take you where you want to go. You don't have to join all the other paths, you know. It's like on the freeway. There's other ways to get around town besides that freeway. And I happen to know them. And I get off immediately. And people say, oh, the traffic was so horrible on the freeway. Why don't you get off? Why don't you get off the freeway and look around and see it? And there's another way to get there. There's always a different way to get to where you want to go. There's not one way to do it. So if you're with people or in an organization where they say, we know the way, I would be very leery of that. And I would probably stand up and say something and then I would get kicked out. So, because there's no way that anyone can know. There's no way that anyone can know everything. As I said before, we only know a little bit of everything. We don't know what anything really is. We just get our bloated self and think, oh, I'm an expert at this because I know this, but there's always more. We're talking about something that's infinite. And how many times in your life, and especially now with the this information thing that we live in with all these this technical stuff going on, don't we find out something new and marvelous almost every day or every week, and things change so rapidly and quickly? So how can we ever make that statement of, I know what it is, or I know how it is? It's your way to get where you want to go. And I think many people, when I was younger and went to the Lutheran church and so forth, well, I thought, oh, they know what they're talking about. This is the way to do it, and you have to join a church, and this will get you, God will be pleased with you, and this, that, and the other thing. First of all, God's always pleased with your people. You cannot offend God. You cannot upset God. You can offend yourself, and you can upset yourself, but you cannot do that to this thing called God. So think about that for a moment, that you cannot do that. So your job is to find a way for yourself. Don't jump on the bandwagon with everybody else. And I'm delighted that I had the Lutheran upbringing and so forth. I'm also delighted I'm not there anymore. I'm very glad about that. I had a relative that was in the Lutheran church since day one. And she lived almost to be 90 also. And she would make the statement, I know more than the minister does about the Lutheran church. Well, I knew damn well she didn't, because she had no idea. She may have known Martin Luther, but she had no idea how the Protestant church came into being, why it came into being. You know, she thought it was, he just started. He didn't want a church either. It was the other people that wanted the church and the rich merchant and so forth, because they were tired of giving all their money to the Catholic Church. So they wanted a church that didn't ask them to give all their money away. So they invented a church. And since he was the main man, they called it Lutheranism. That's all. So you don't know more than the other person. You just can't. It's impossible. So when the churches tell you all that, you may take that and you may do something with it. But I don't want to sound... what is that word? Not critical.
Judgmental.
I'm judgmental, but then I'll think of the other word that I'm looking for.
Haughty? Too late.
That these people think that they know the way, or think that their church is the right one and all this, that, and the other thing. I have known too many people.
Pious?
Well, no, I'm not pious. But they think they are. They think that they're absolutely pious. And what I've known them so long, I think, why did you even bother to go to church? You haven't learned a thing. They haven't learned a thing. They have no idea. They still think God's a man in the sky someplace and is watching every move that they make. And they have to do this, that, and the other thing. And they're not living a happy life. You know. They're not living. The benchmark for your life is, are you happy? I don't care if you're religious, non-religious, if you're spiritual, non-religious. If you're not happy, if you're not filled with joy, something is lacking in your life. Something is lacking in your life. And what is lacking? Your thinking. You're not thinking the thought that you want to think. You have to learn to think the thought that you want to think. You have to make yourself be filled with joy. No church can do that. Nobody can do that but you. And God certainly can't do that, because God's already filled with joy and all. So think of those things. So it doesn't matter if you pray all day long or this, that, the other thing. If you're not filled with joy and happiness, something is amiss in your life. Something is amiss. And what do you think it would be if you're not filled with joy and happiness? Andy knows the answer to that. He told me he had an epiphany.
That you don't feel worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter.
Yes. If you're not filled with joy and happiness and love the life that you're living and see how wonderful it is, then you're not. And then you think you're not worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Good. So that is one of the ways to improve your life. Just one. It's not the way. But if you have to start with yourself, start loving yourself. Start saying, remember we started this years ago, and we used to have the affirmation, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. Are people still looking in the mirror? Are you still saying that about yourself? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. You have to know that you're wonderful. Down to, you know, that gut feeling that everything is all right and that you're all right. But we don't do that. We have all these other little things going on in our mind. But we have to stop the thinking that's going on inside of us. And we have to train our mind to think differently. And we can all do that. Do it one moment at a time. Like yourself just one moment at a time. That the minister Raymond Charles Parker, that I use quite frequently with the church in New York, he used to had a great clientele for counseling, and he said he would, people would come in and they just hated themselves and hated everything. He would start with, can you find one little thing about yourself that you like? I don't care if it's your little finger, your fingernail. Can you like just one little thing about yourself? And then he would, from there, you can move on. You can start loving till you love your whole self. But you have to start somewhere. And so many people out there do not, and they have no idea what to do about themselves. That's why I think so many people are mean. They don't love themselves. And you are who you are. There's no one like you. There never was, and there never will be anyone like you again. You see, it's just like snowflakes. You're one of a kind. You're one of a kind. This also then brings up the idea that you cannot compare yourself to anybody. You can't compare yourself to anyone. You can look at somebody and you can say, oh, look at that quality. I'm going to strive to have that same quality. You can do that. You can do that. But you can't compare yourself to somebody. You can't compare yourself to somebody. It's an impossibility to do that. If you're one of a kind, who could you compare yourself to? The only thing you could compare yourself to is God itself, you see. So, train your mind to do that. Train your mind to become a witness to what you're thinking. Also, learn to hear what you're saying. What are you saying to yourself and to everyone around you? You see. And then it becomes fun. You can make it a very fun thing. Which, ooh, my, I said that. Ooh, you know. Because what you think about, you bring about, and your words are very powerful. Very powerful, your words. You know. They can hurt. They can heal. Your words can do all kinds of things. Florence Shin had a book she called Your Word is Your Wand. Your word is your wand, and it is a magical wand. The way you use your language. Remember, one of the first things I tell people is change your vocabulary. If you want something to come into your life, you have to change your vocabulary. Why do you have to change your vocabulary? Because words structure thought. You cannot think without words. So, how are you thinking? How are you thinking? And they know perfectly well that in expressing yourself with words, the more words that you know, the larger vocabulary that you have, the healthier you are going to be. People that get into fights get very frustrated and don't have a happy life have very small vocabularies because they get frustrated. They cannot explain what they are thinking. They cannot explain the feelings that they're having. So increase your vocabulary and get rid of words that do not serve you. Just hollow words that do not go anywhere. That do not go anywhere. So one of the affirmations that you can use is, I only think thoughts that heal me, bless me, and prosper me. So if you have a thought that's not healing you, like, I think I'm going to get the flu, I think I'm getting sick and all, please get rid of that. That's not good for you. And what prosperous thoughts? Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. You have to change your thinking. You have to change that. But it starts with a vocabulary, and it starts with knowing that your words have power. We know that. We've heard that many times. If you read the Bible and so forth, it says your word does not return to you void. It does not return to you void. Now, if you want to really use your mind and so forth when you're thinking about words and so forth, think of them as the seeds that you're planting. And if you're planting bad words, hatred, and all that kind of stuff, that is what you're going to reap. And that comes from your mouth. So it grows somewhere and comes back to you. So use your mind. Remember, I had that book, The Garden of Your Mind, Planting Seeds. I think I gave it to somebody. I don't have it anymore. But you can think of your mind as a garden and get rid of the weeds that are in that garden. And also, stop throwing stones into your garden. What do I mean by throwing stones? Well, by your negative thoughts and so forth. You know, a garden can grow if you throw a stone once, twice, three, four, five times. Well, the garden's not going to wither. But if you keep throwing stones in it, and it's all going to be stones, how are the flowers going to come up? It's covered the soil. It's covered it. All the stones you've thrown on top of your own garden. You did that. You have to take those stones out again so you can have that beautiful garden again, once again. These are very simple techniques to use, but this is how you get your mind to do what you want it to do. It's not complicated. This thing is very simple. Life itself is very simple. But this ego mind of ours wants to make it difficult. It wants to make it this, that, and the other thing. And, of course, we have this hierarchy where people want to be superior to somebody else. You're not superior to anybody. You see, we're all in the same boat. And we're all going to help each other. If so, you know. That's the main thing in life. Help everybody. No. But think for yourself. Learn to do that. Know that you're on the right road, the right path, that you're doing exactly what you should be doing because you are this individualized expression of God. So you say to yourself, I'm always in my right place. I'm always doing the right thing. And I'm always saying the right thing. And I'm always saying the right thing. You have to know that. And that's part of this thing of allowing God to work in as and through you. So know that about yourself. I hear people, oh, I said that wrong again. I did this, I did that. Well, stop doing it. Stop doing it. You know, just forgive yourself and stop doing it. Start over again. That's the only way that you're going to get through this. Life is to start over. Just forgive yourself. Nothing is that important. Nothing is that important. Nothing. So, but we think it's important. We think all this stuff is silly and it's important. Have fun. Enjoy. Live a wonderful life. And know that you're on the right path
for you. This is how I do it. I don't care how you do it. I care how I do it. You see? You don't have to join people and so forth. And I think many of these organizations have made people feel so bad because you feel bad. Oh, I can't do it that way. Oh, you know. Don't do it your own way. Who's going to ridicule you for doing it your own way? You know. Just do things. You don't have to tell people even this. You know, I don't tell people, well, I don't do it that way. You know. I just do it the way I want to do it. Makes life much more exciting. You know, you don't have to do that. But even if we didn't have churches and we didn't even have religious science and so forth, your own mind could figure this stuff out. It's not all that difficult. And it's not difficult to have moral values and so forth. You have to realize, surely, that it doesn't make sense to go around killing people. Just doesn't make sense, does it? Does it make sense to go around stealing? Does it make sense to go around committing adultery? No. So those Ten Commandments, you see, are absolutely self-explanatory, and you could have thought them up yourself. You didn't need Moses walking up a mountain to get these Ten Commandments. And of course you realize he dropped the 11th commandment, which is the most important commandment. Pardon?
Is it love thyself?
Mind your own business. That's the 11th commandment. He dropped it coming down the mountain. Yes, mind your own business. Can you imagine how much freedom you'd have if you minded your own business? Saying, but you can do this. The Ten Commandments, those things, you could think of yourself just by observation. You see? But we think, oh no, we had to have Moses and God do all that. But if this thing called God is working in as and through you, you're certainly going to come up with these things. Well, you know. And it's, and I think in the Bible, or in the Ten Commandments, it says, thy shall not kill. And it should be, I cannot kill. I cannot kill because I'm killing myself. I'm killing myself doing that. But we're all intelligent beings. We would have come up with these things on our own. Now, thank goodness, maybe they came up. It's not, we don't want to always keep inventing the wheel over and over. So if all this is there, and in every religion, by the way, even the pagan religions, there's a thread of truth that runs through everything. And that's our job, is to find that thread, to find out what the truth is, and let all that twaddle and all that bull go to the wayside, you know. Because so much of it is, well, most of it's insulting, if you ask me. Now we're having a Catholic leave.
Warmer. Thank you very much. Warmer.
See everybody.
So, back to the idea of what is the way. And I talked last week, I said that this man named Jesus said, I am the way, the light, and all. And what was his way? What was his way? Was his way. I am the way. So you must say to yourself, I am the way. I know how to do this. You see. You don't have to be a Jesus. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to belong to your church. You don't have to do any of these things. You're always going to be held in the highest esteem by this thing called God, and you're always going to be doing the right thing. So when you go to these different churches, or you come here to me and so forth, and you listen and so forth, then do something with your own thinking about it. And you don't have to accept anything that I say. If it doesn't make sense, throw it out. I often say things that don't make sense even to me, so. But I keep on the path. I keep on that. I'm not one bit worried about not being on the right path. I'm not one bit worried about death. I'm not one bit worried about not going someplace else, that this whole thing is going to end, or any of that stuff. I can get excited in the other direction, you see, and think, oh, isn't this wonderful, you see. But we have all these things, you see. I think eventually we'll get rid of the obituaries in newspapers and have those things come under celebration. Somebody has just graduated. Somebody has just graduated to a new life, to a different life, you see. Instead of making this whole thing so glum, you know, and doom and gloom and all that. We don't have to do that, you see. But that, here again, if you wish to do that and that's your way, please feel free to do it. But always in any of these things, ask yourself, with my thinking at the present moment, is it getting me where I want to go? Is my thinking getting me where I want to go? And if your thinking is not getting you where you want to go, then change your thinking. Because it's the only thing that you can change on this plane of action is your thinking. You cannot change other people. And here again, the world thinks they can change people. They can make people do something. And we certainly see that sometimes they're very successful, because there's a lot of people out there that do not think for themselves and are led around by the nose. Do you want to be one of those people? You know, I hope not. Another thing to remember is always be the lead dog. If you're not the lead dog, your view never changes. Think about it. Right? If you're the dog behind the lead dog, your view is not going to change. You're going to be looking right there. You see? So, be a lead dog. And people that come into this teaching usually are lead dogs, because this is a different type of teaching. It runs against the norm. This completely runs against the status quo. And it can offend a lot of people, you see. And there's more of them at the present moment than there are of us at the present moment. But be on the path, be on your path, and think of those things. But do it for yourself. Be that. And most people come into this teaching are leaders, you know. You have to be a leader. You can't be a follower. You see. Let the other people be followers and so forth. And you'll see. That friend of mine often talk about Joyce Reynolds, and she's in a group of people and they're all doing this. She always says, who's leading? Who's leading this? Well, no one knows who's leading. You have to say, I know, I am the leader. I know the way. I know what I'm doing. So, do that. Do that for yourself. And with you, if you want to learn treatment, please learn treatment, but just a form of prayer. But here again, oh, and by the way, and I hope he'll be here on a Monday. My friend Doug the Baptist is coming for the holidays, so I hope he'll be here. Because Doug the Baptist couldn't do a treatment if the world came to an end, but he can say, God, I want this, and get it. Because he knows how to do that, you see. So there are different techniques, there are different ways to do it. It's the same way so many people say to me, oh, I can't meditate. Well, you most certainly can meditate. You may not be able to meditate like some people for 4 hours a day. But as soon as you close your eyes and immediately you can use the word being, you're meditating. And everyone can meditate. Everyone can meditate. But you think that you can't meditate because you have to follow somebody else's instructions. Well, that's the way they meditate. That's the way they meditate. Learn to meditate the way you do, you know. If you just stop for a moment and quiet your mind and even have a fantasy or a daydream go through, that's a meditation. That's a meditation. So, do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. I took TM when it first came out, 40 years ago probably, and got a mantra and all that, and you had to do all these rituals and take a handkerchief to the guru, and I forget what all. Flowers, I remember flowers and a white handkerchief, I believe it was. I've completely forgotten any of that. I've even forgotten the mantra. I forgot it before I left that auditorium that day because, you know, it was in Sanskrit or something. I had no idea what it was. But it started me on a way of thinking for myself and meditating for myself. You know. No, and I don't meditate for long periods of time. I do not do that. But you just stop and think good thoughts as a meditation. You don't have to go into all these different areas and levels and so forth. I understand that Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and them, they meditate for 4 to 8 hours a day. I think, well, how do you get anything done? But they write tons of books, so it must work for them. But that's their way. That is their way. What is your way? What is your way? If relaxing is your way of watching Dancing with the Stars does something, fine. Do that. Do that. But never think that you're not on the right path. You're on the right path. You have to be. You're here on this plane of action. You're a spiritual being living in a human body. So you have to be on the right path. You're going to end up, we're all going to end up at the same place. We're just going to take different routes to get there. You know, it's like getting on a train. Many people can come to California, say they're on the East Coast. There are many trains. We don't have to get on the same train. We're going to wind up in Los Angeles, right? Or airplanes. We're going to wind up on the right place, on the airlines. The nicest thing about the airline and the thing to think about there is if an airplane is leaving Los Angeles for New York City, it's off its route 99% of the time. You know, it's not a straight shot. They have to keep correcting all the time. They have to keep correcting. Well, that's what our life is about. Not a straight shot from here to there. It's correcting all the time. We're correcting, but we're going to get to where we're going. Just correct yourself gently. Gently. With loving hands and so forth, correct yourself. But don't think there's a straight shot to get anywhere you want to go. There is no straight shot. You're going to veer this way, you're going to veer that way, but you're going to get where you want to go. So with all that and knowing this, know that you are on the way and learn to love the process and learn to love yourself why you're doing this instead of your mind saying, oh, you don't know what you're doing. You're not going to get there. You're not religious. You're not spiritual. Or if you don't fuck up, God's not going to like you. You don't have to fuck up. God's going to like you. And there is the most marvelous thing to learn, you know. I learned that, of course. I did not learn that God loved me when I was a child. I learned that Jesus loved me, you know. But now I've changed that to I know that God loves me. And you get a certain freedom with that. You get a certain freedom with that, and you get the okay sign. You see, it's okay to take your own path. It's okay to think your own thoughts. It's okay to do this kind of stuff. It would be an awful world if people thought the same. We would never advance. It's always the radical thinkers that aren't with the status quo that bring something new into the world. Always. So, learn to think for yourself. Learn to love yourself and learn to know that you are on the right path, that it's your path. People may join you if they wish, but if they don't, take your own path and stay on it. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.